Hebrews chapter 11. Reading over there in Hebrews 11, verse number 1. The Bible says, this great chapter on faith right here and all the characters that we'll see outlined in this, we won't study them all, but I'll say something about a lot of these men and women in this chapter. You'll find that they wasn't perfect, but they had something special about them. They had faith that pleased God. The Bible says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith's a precious thing to have. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now listen to this verse. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Boy, that explains a lot, don't it? Amen. Scientists have always, they've been trying to figure out how this old world come into existence. Well, right here's the answer. Hey, they spent millions and millions and billions of dollars trying to figure this thing out. If they just look in God's Word right there, it wouldn't cost them a thing. God, by His Word, spoke it all into existence. And if you got a problem with Genesis 1 and 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created, then you'll have a problem with the rest of God's Word. You better get that ironed out. God created this thing. God's going to end this thing one of these days. Now, notice this in verse number 5. The Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? Faith. Faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, this next verse right here is Bible character we want to deal with tonight. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Brother Lee, would you pray for us tonight? Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Yes. Yes, Lord, help us. Yes. Yes. Lord, help. Yes. Amen. We're going to look at some things about Noah tonight out of the Word of God. And this one verse that's been inserted right here in Genesis, or in Hebrews chapter number 11 right here, gives us a little insight on the life of Noah. Noah had a word from God. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he was moved by fear to prepare an ark for the saving of his house, by the which the Bible says he condemned the world. Tonight I want to look at this thought and give you this topic right here to think about just a little bit. Are you following faith or are you following a fool? Are you following faith or are you following fools? Jesus or God said in His Word right here that there is fools in this old world today. Amen? The Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And there's a lot of them in this old world today. Let me tell you something, the devil would have our young people, he would have our older people or anybody that's not been saved to believe that there is no God. But Noah right here, I tell you, he had a faith that's worth following. Amen? In our lives today, in our homes today, daddies, Noah's faith would be a good pattern for you to pattern your home by. He was interested in seeing his family saved. He was interested in seeing his family be able to go through the wrath and judgment of God and come out on the other side well. That'd be a good thing for us to do. Amen? The Bible says this in Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock at sin. It also says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people that's living in the ways of fools today. That's the way it was in Noah's day. And that's one thing I want us to focus on tonight, the things that was going on in Noah's day. Now, if you'll turn back in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, I want us to look at a few things right here about Noah. Noah lived in a day when preaching wasn't real popular. Amen? That's the day that we live in today. Hard preaching is just not real popular in the day that we live. When you go to preaching against sin and it goes to cutting on this old flesh, there's a lot of people that just won't take it in the day in which we live today. But Noah was faithful to his call. He kept on preaching and he kept on telling the old story just like it was that God gave him. Noah lived in a day when morals had just gone berserk. Amen? The world was corrupt. People was corrupt. We live in a world similar to that today. And we'll get to that in just a little bit about the thing that Jesus said about the comparison of Noah's day and our day. The world was corrupt before God. Let me tell you something. We live in a world, hey, that has compromised on the things of God, that's gone crazy in corruption, and it's from the White House down to many church houses into this day that we live today. Oh, there's morals today that's just been thrown to the wayside. I've seen it in my lifetime. As an older person now, I've seen how far backwards mankind has gone. Amen. Morals mean something in the sight of God. Amen. God has standards whether we realize it or not. And let me tell you, this world right here will take your children, it'll take you, and it'll lead you astray from the standards of God. Not only the morals had gone bad, but there was mayhem. You'll find in Genesis chapter 6 that the Bible says that the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. Have you ever seen a day like we live in today? The violence that goes on in our land and in our country today. I remember when I was a kid, we didn't have locks on the doors. There wasn't no such thing as a padlock on a house or a deadbolt. You go to bed at night, you raise your windows up, and you had a screen door, you left the door, wood door, just wide open. People didn't worry then. But now you can't stay at home in the daytime without keeping your doors locked. Some crazy person going to come up, break in on you and kill you. It happens. It happens. It used to be way off somewhere, but now it's getting closer and closer to home, ain't it? Mayhem was in that day, in Noah's day, and God was seeing it all. Not only was mayhem, but there was mockers in that day. You know, Noah was, he was a preacher of righteousness. But the people rejected his message. You know, they was mockers. I believe Peter described it over there in 2 Peter over there. They are scoffers in the day. Hey, in their day, in this day in which we live today, they're scoffers today that'll reject the Word of God, that'll make fun of a Christian. If you're trying to live for Christ out in this world today, don't be surprised if somebody hurts your feelings. Amen. They're going to try. Mockers. But let me tell you, Noah had a message. Noah stayed faithful to his message, to his mission that God had given him. Tell you something amazing about Noah. I don't find where Noah had a big church house to preach out of. I don't find where Noah ever took up a collection. But he was faithful anyway. Hey, let me tell you something. He only had 7 converts in 120 years of preaching. Isn't that an amazing thing? Do you reckon he ever got discouraged? I'm sure he probably did within himself. But he knew what was coming, and he knew he didn't want to fail his family. Amen. And there's something right there that ought to encourage us. When we get discouraged, when we get down and out, just consider the latter end. Just consider what God's done for us. And let's consider that somebody, there may be somebody that we can help. We ought to encourage ourselves in the Lord and in the Word of God and try to press on. I want us to look back in Genesis now for just a little bit, beginning with Noah's family. Let's look at Noah's family. You'll find back in Genesis chapter number 4 right here, story that you're real familiar with right here, the story about Cain and Abel. Cain rose up and he slew Abel, his brother. Cain, in verse 16, it says, he went out from the presence of the Lord and he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. He was the one that led an ungodly line away from the things of God. And his generation and his people began to grow and multiply in the earth in that day. But there was one born to Adam and Eve in verse 25 whose name was Seth. And Eve said that God had appointed me another seed instead of Abel whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him there was also born a son. And he called his name Enos. Notice this. Then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. These things right here, you'll notice right here about Noah's family. Noah comes out of the godly line of Seth. A praying people. A people that were looking to God, to guide through life. And they realized where their blessings came from in life. And let me tell you, prayer is something, friend, that we ought to be acquainted with in our lives today. Men ought always to pray and not faint. There's a great need in our home. There's a great need in our land, in our country today for praying people. Hey, there's a great need in the church house for people that can get in touch with God. There's a great need that people would have a burden to call upon God. Oh, there's lost people that's dying and going to hell. And I wonder how many tears and how many prayers is being prayed for those that died and went to hell today. Oh, we just ain't got the burden like we ought to have. But Noah came from a line of people that began to call upon the name of the Lord. They were not only people of prayer, but they were people of prophecy. Notice this in chapter number 5 right here. Verse number 18 says, Jared lived 162 years, begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Well, they lived a long time. You go back to the beginning of this chapter and you'll find there's some old fellers lived in them days. But they all had something in common, though. They all died. They all went out to meet God one day. All the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after that he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch was a great Bible character you'll find in the Word of God. Enoch was a man of prophecy, even though we don't have a whole lot written about him. Let me tell you, there's something very, very important that God gave to Enoch. And we have it recorded in the book of Jude, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says this about Enoch. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they've ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch had a word from God. Enoch had a warning from God. Oh, but listen to me, friend. Enoch was a great man of God, and he begot a son by the name of Methuselah. Now, speaking of prophecy. I want you to notice this right here about Lamech. He was a man that was the father of Noah. The Bible says this in verse number 30. Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters. He said this up here in verse 29. He called on his son's name Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed." You see, Lamech, the father of Noah, had some insight. He had some prophecy that was given unto him about Noah, saying this, that he was going to comfort us concerning the work and toil of our hands. You see, people, he was bothered by sin. They were living in a day and time when sin would just seem to be growing and going rampant in that day. And he saw that there was something special about this child Noah. And he had a word of prophecy to say right there, because God would use Noah mightily, mightily, mightily. Hey, there's not hardly anybody, I don't guess, in this old country of ours right here that hadn't heard about Noah, that hadn't heard about the flood. God has used this story. God put it down in simple ways that man could understand, that there was a flood that came upon this old world one day. God's wrath and judgment was passed upon mankind because of sin. Now I want you to notice something else right here about these people of prophecy right here. There's something interesting to you right here. When Enoch begot Methuselah, he began to walk with God. And one writer that I've read after says that Methuselah, the name Methuselah means when he dies, it'll come. When he dies, it'll come. If you add up all these years from when Methuselah lived to when Methuselah died, he was the oldest man that ever lived. If you add up all those years, in the year that he died, the flood came. The flood came. That's an interesting little thought right there I wanted to share with you tonight. You add up all those years and you'll find it to be true. Now notice this right here about Noah's family. They were a people that persevered. We need some people in the house of God that'll persevere. It was a time of great wickedness in the earth, but there were still some faithful people that hung on to God. We need some people like that down at the house of God today. Amen? We need some daddies. We need some mamas that'll keep their house in order the way that God would have it to be, that'll persevere in the things of God and raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Instead of going the way of the world, instead of letting your children go the way of the world. I tell you one thing about Noah, his daddy, I guarantee you, he didn't send his children down to Nod. Hey, where old Cain had gone. Amen. There's some places you ought not to let your kids go. Amen. There's too many kids nowadays that goes and tells mom and daddy what they're going to do. Amen. I tell you, there ain't no God in Nod. And there's some places you ought to put your foot down and just tell your kids you ain't going to do it that way. Amen. Quit trying to be their best friend and be mom and daddy. Amen. Kids got a lot to learn. Kids don't know everything. I can look back in my life when I was growing up and see how stupid I was now. Amen? Right, amen. Oh, listen, they persevered in the things of God. Not only Noah's family, but look at Noah's faith. Noah believed God. He got a word from God, and he believed God, and it changed his life. Do you believe God? This is God's Word right here. Do you believe it? Then the preaching, the teaching, the reading of this Bible right here ought to change our life. It ought to change our walk. It changed Noah's walk. Noah's grandfather, great-grandfather, Enoch, walked with God. And the Bible says that Noah walked with God. It'll change your life. And if we really, really believe that this Bible right here is true, it ought to influence our life. Amen? Noah's faith. I'll tell you something else about Noah's faith. It put him in the minority. It put him in the minority. Let me tell you something. We're becoming more and more in the minority as believers in Christ. There's a great percentage of people in this country that say, well, I'm Christian, but they never go to church. Amen? There's just not many that really, they want to be labeled Christian. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to follow this word much anymore. Amen? Noah's faith, he believed God's word. We better believe what God says. And he tells us in this word right here, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the second coming of him. And we better look at the life of Noah and the things that was going on in the days of Noah and look at the words of Christ. And Christ says, look at the days of Noah. Look at the days that we're living in today. I'm soon to come. Great comparison. Noah believed God's word. Do you believe God's word? Or are we just going through the motions of religion? I really believe if we realize what Jesus says is true, that we're living in the days of Noah, that we can look at the things that went on in Noah's day and look at the things that's going on in our world today and not believe that Jesus is soon to come, then we just don't believe. Amen? Because it's here. It's upon us. And we're living in that day and hour today that the Lord could appear. Noah believed God's Word. Have we got faith enough to believe the Word of God as it's written? Ask yourself that. Why wouldn't it change our life? If somebody told me, Brother Lee, if somebody come in here and said, well, it don't go back toward Biden. There's something up there that's going to kill you before you get to the red light. You know, I'd have to say, well, am I going to believe that or am I going to not believe that? I'd have to make a decision, wouldn't I? Same way with the Word of God. Are we going to believe what the Bible says or are we not going to believe it? He believed God's Word. He believed God's warning. In chapter 6 and verse number 3, he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. We believe that? When God is dealing with a man, woman, boy, or girl, it's time to do something. It's time to listen. As Brother Lee taught Wednesday night, you can listen with your ears, but you better hear it in your heart. You better apply it in your life when God is saying something to you. Because there's a deadline. There's an opportunity to be obedient, and then there's a deadline that you can pass. It's up to us. For that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. He believed the warning that God gave. Well, what did God say? Flood's coming. I'm going to destroy all flesh. Going to destroy mankind. He also not only believed God's warning, he believed God's way. How do I know? In verse number 22, chapter 6, the Bible says this, that Noah did according to all that God commanded him to do. Wish I could say that. I wish it was recorded in the heavenly books tonight that I'd always done what God wanted me to do. Wish that was written about me. But Noah did. He was so convicted about God's Word and what God had said to him. Hey, he done everything he possibly could do for 120 years to please God and to be obedient to His commands. Wish we could be that faithful. Talking about Noah's faith. How's your faith? How's your faith tonight? I'm afraid too often instead of following faith, we're following flesh. Amen. This flesh is a problem. We live in a world today when there's things pulling at our flesh left and right. There's so many people that's labeled as Christians are following the flesh, not following God. We're missing out on the things of life that God has for us. Noah's family, Noah's faith, but Noah's fear. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says that Noah, warned of God, was moved with fear. You know, when we think about the Lord coming back, and He is, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the church will be caught out of this world. You know, Brother Lee, that used to scare the life out of me when I was lost. I'd think about all hope being gone. It'd scare me. Because I believe God's Word is true. He is coming back one day. He is going to rapture His church out of this world. There'll be mamas that'll be left behind. There'll be daddies left behind. There'll be children that's gone and mama and daddy left behind. There'll be husbands that'll wake up and the wife will be gone. The wife will wake up, the husband will be gone. It's going to be a day of great horror when the church is taken out. And the hope for lost sinners is gone. Noah was moved by fear because God had a word that He was going to destroy all life. I wonder, Does the end scare anybody here? The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I'm saved. I can take you to the time and take you to the place when God saved me, but it's still a fearful thing to think about falling into the hands of a living God. But I'm going to one day, and so are you. Be absent from this old body is to be present with the Lord. You better be ready to meet Him when that day and hour comes. You see, in Noah's fear, God had revealed to him that there's a day that's appointed. God said, I'm going to destroy. There was 120 years that Noah had to prepare. An appointment that was coming of destruction, of wrath, of judgment. And it was approaching. Can I tell you something about this day that we're living today? This is Sunday, June the 24th. We're one day closer to meeting God than we was yesterday. The clocks are ticking. We're headed out of this thing. Noah's fear. It was a day appointed. A day approaching. But I want you to notice there was a way appointed. Can I tell you this tonight? Always in the Word of God, before God brings judgment, He always offers mercy. Amen? He always offers mercy before judgment. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? All the God haters, the Christ rejecters, God loves them, and He's willing to save if they just come to Him. It's amazing. A way appointed. The Bible says that Noah, after God pronounced that He was going to destroy everything that He had created, the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God for the day that I found grace was real. Boy, I didn't deserve it. Wicked and sorry as anybody that ever walked upon the face of this earth. But God loved me enough to let me find grace. Grace enough to save me. Forgive me of my sins. This way that was appointed, he says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he also said to make thee an ark. Make thee an ark. He showed him the way to escape the wrath and the judgment of God. Isn't it amazing today that Christ is our ark? He is the ark of safety today. Those that would accept Him and run to Him and enter into the ark of safety, they can be saved. You think about the day that when God shut that door on that ark, the heavens darkened and the streams began to rise, the rain began to fall, water started to rise up. Wonder how many people tried to make their way to that old ark that had rejected and mocked the preaching of Noah. But then reality set in. When it all began to come to pass, Jesus hung on the cross for us. That old ark was lifted up by the waters. Christ was lifted up on the cross. And those that come to Him will find that He is the ark of safety from the wrath and judgment that is to come one of these days upon this old world. Noah's fear changed his walk. It changed his work. He wanted to see his family get in. Amen? You know, used to, when I was a little boy, the old church I used to go to, people would gather around the altar. They'd cry out names. Hey, mamas and daddies would call their children's name, asking God to save them, trying to get them into the ark of safety of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the day in which we live, sad day when mamas and daddies don't even have a burden for their kids. Sad day. But it's a real thing. I see people down here on the lake, they'll go buy a $100,000 boat, buy a $400,000 house on the lake just to get their kids there every weekend. Show them a good time. But what about their soul? What about their soul? When they ought to be having them in church, trying to get them under preaching and get them saved. Boy, they're missing out on the most important thing in life. Noah's family, Noah's faith, Noah's fear. But I want you to notice this, Noah's final warning. Noah's still speaking today. The life of Noah is still speaking today, loud and clear out of the Word of God. Matthew's Gospel. Let me read you just a couple of verses here before closing tonight. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Christ was speaking about His second coming here. As His disciples had questioned Him about when the end of the world would be, He began to go through many things, telling them what it would be like. But one of the great passages that we have to compare to our day to day comes in verse number 36 forward. It says, "But that of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." But He's going to give you something really to take notice of right here. He said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark." Can I tell you this about this day? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Challenge you to read Romans chapter number 1. You'll find some insight on what life was like, how corrupt it got. Just exactly what's going on in this world today. Did you ever think you'd see a day when the highest officials in our country would say it's okay, it's sanctioned for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman? Marriage was messed up in Noah's day too. And it's prevalent in our day, and it's amazing to me how things have come together so fast in wickedness in the day that we live. That all they were interested in was pleasures and perverseness. They didn't believe Noah's preaching. This world not looking for Jesus to come. They don't believe the preaching of the Word of God. It's outdated to most people. You see, in Romans chapter 1, they didn't even like to retain God in their knowledge. So God turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were inconvenient. And you'll notice too, I'm talking tonight about following faith or following fools. God said in Romans chapter number 1, He called them fools. He called them fools. Matter of fact, let me read that verse to you. It says, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We live in a day today when men are ever learning, but ever learning to be more stupid about the things of God. As the days of Noah were. Great illustration here given by Christ. He says, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Listen now. They didn't realize the preaching of Noah was true. They wouldn't accept it as truth. They knew it not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Great illustration. Can I say this? You'll find that in the life of Noah, after 120 years of preaching, only 7 conversions, and that was his family. 120 years of preaching, there came a day. There came a day when God said, "Come thou into the ark." I believe Noah walked behind his family, probably up that old ark. I believe maybe he looked around to see if there's anybody else coming. Nobody there. And I believe when he stepped inside that ark, God shut the door. That was it. It was sealed. It was sealed. That's a sad story, ain't it? But it's still true today, in the day that we live. People had 120 years to listen to Noah's preaching, a preacher of righteousness, but they wouldn't listen. It was too late. Too late. Come thou and all thy house. Wonder tonight, are you in that ark of safety? Be honest. I'm going to tell you something. I was a lost church member. I'd done been baptized, had my name written in the church roll. I was lost, knew it. I knew it. I didn't have to go to the preacher and ask him, "Well, you reckon I'm lost or I'm saved?" I knew I was lost. How about you tonight? Sister Sherry, would you come to the piano? I